KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Chris Fiorentino. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Each week, we feature people who make possible the 1 million plus hours of service at Fresno State. And we also talk about the unique and powerful learning opportunities that students get from those experiences. And that's particularly relevant to today's show, since it features how one department is integrating service learning into their courses. And what makes these particular service learning classes even more unique is that they're in a discipline that you wouldn't automatically associate with traditional volunteer experiences. So with me today are two faculty members from the Construction Management Department, which is part of the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State. First is Brad Hyatt, a professor and the department chair. Welcome, Brad.
Thank you.
And with Brad today is Vivian Liu, a longtime service learning practitioner and professor in construction management. Vivian, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Chris.
So, Vivian, maybe we'll start with you. We'd just like a little self-introduction, let the audience know who it is they're hearing on the radio.
Hello, everyone. My name is Vivian Law, and I am a professor in construction management department here. I actually grew up in China. Came to this country in 2001, spent 7 years in Pennsylvania for my grad school, graduated Penn State in 2008, and came to Fresno State.
We're very happy you did. Brad, how about you? A little self-introduction?
Yes, I grew up in Kentucky and spent almost my entire life there until I graduated from college, and then I was in the Navy for about 10 years.
Oh.
Did some consulting on the side for a couple of years, and then was lucky enough to be hired here at Fresno State, where I was hired a year after Vivian. So this is going on my 9th year. I just finished my 8th year. And officially, this is one of the longest jobs I've ever had.
Well, let's hope it's much longer, too. So, well, Brad, as the department chair, maybe you're the best person situated to talk to us a little about construction management in general. And what's that department all about? And what are the things that you cover in those classes? And what jobs does that prepare students for? I mean, it isn't a hands-on. You're not training them to be the roofers and the sheetrockers. It's more than that. So you can talk a little bit about that, if you would, please.
Yes, and that's correct. The way that I describe construction management to our students and a lot of people that ask about the discipline is that we are not the ones that build the projects, as you mentioned, sheetrockers, electricians, carpenters, plumbers, but we're also not the ones that design the projects either. We are the ones in the middle that make sure it gets built the way it's designed. We manage that process. And that discipline's changed over the last 30 years. It used to be we were just managing the crews, the people that built it. But now we get to do more than that. We get to manage the entire design process and a lot of times be involved from a project from inception when an owner or someone thinks about a project all the way through completion when we turn it over.
And probably really important too, because it's one thing to design a building and it's another thing to build it. And realize that, okay, look, that's a really great design feature, but how do we incorporate that in with different construction standards and, you know, permit requirements or whatever else it might be, energy efficiency, you name it.
Yes, that's correct. Exactly. And one of the aspects that our faculty bring to the table is that all of our full-time faculty members are engineers. And so we have been through the design process and learned about it. And now we get to teach the construction side of things and teach our students that sometimes designs may not work quite the way we think they're going to work.
Yeah.
And it's up to construction managers to help figure out how it's going to actually go together and end up being a product that the owner can move into.
And relatively small department, but really the placement rates, if I understand it right, are virtually 100% for your students, right?
That's correct. And this past May, it was 100%. Every single one of our students that graduated, before they walked, they had a job. And many of them had 2, 3, 4, 5 job offers and a really great starting salary, average around $70,000 a year. Up until this year, most of our students would go to the Bay Area for those jobs. Uh-huh. And this year, 75% of the students stayed in the Valley.
Oh.
So these are students that are staying here, high paying jobs, making a difference from day one when they graduate. And even in the past years, when the economy wasn't great, when we both first started in the construction management department, a majority of our students still had job offers before they left. These are not students that are finding jobs in the summer. These are students that when they walk on that stage to get their diploma, they already have a job.
And they're working residential, commercial, government, all three?
All three. It kind of goes with the times and where the money is with construction projects. So when we first got here, a lot of it was government projects with the stimulus packages and things like that. The past probably 5 years, it's been more on the commercial building side of things as more retail spaces and apartments and commercial office spaces. And then now residential's picked back up. So we're seeing more students move into that sector. And so every 5 years, it seems like the percentages change. But we definitely have students that go in every single one of those sectors, regardless of which one's hot.
Okay. And to the point of the show, you have three service learning classes in your department. And I'm wondering if you can talk about those and let's try to understand those classes a little bit better.
Yeah, the three classes that we currently have right now, one is our orientation class, which is the very first class that students take in construction management. Another one is a sophomore level class, which students take typically the following semester. And the third one is a senior level class. So they get a little bit of a break and they come back as seniors and they get to lead a service learning project.
So that gives them also that scaffolded sort of experience, right? They get this entry level orientation experience and then they get something a little bit more in depth and hands-on, if you will, as sophomores. And then that senior level experience, they're really taking on a project from start to finish, right?
That's correct. Yeah. And one of the things that we love about that senior experience is that one, they get to work with some of those new students coming in that they were just in their shoes a few short semesters ago. And the second thing is we really try to have those seniors work with those entities and figure out what the project is and how they're going to execute it. And as we all know, there's nothing that can be simulated versus working with a real client. Mm-hmm. So working with a real client has a lot of aspects that you just can't simulate in class or make up an exam that covers how to deal with people.
In the orientation class, I know, obviously, you cover a lot of different things. One of the things that the students are required to do during that orientation class, if I'm not mistaken, is take the OSHA safety course that's 40 hours. And so they're able to then apply that out on the sites when they're doing their service work, right?
That's correct. And we've done it in a number of classes. So this year in the orientation class, they're actually doing a 10-hour version of that OSHA training, which still gives them all the basics of, you know, here's what you can expect when you go to construction site. Here are the basic safety features that you're looking for. And then we've moved that 30-hour course into the second sophomore level just because it's a little more in depth. It gives them more time to really go through the content and understand it a little bit better. But regardless, we introduce it very early on because safety is of paramount importance.
And then the next class is a materials class, is that right?
That is correct. That sophomore level class is a materials class.
And we'll talk about some of the actual projects, but what's the service piece in the materials? What is it when they're doing service work, how is it that they relate that back in a course on construction materials?
Yeah, so one of the requirements we have with all of our service learning is that they have to be construction-related service projects.
Yeah.
So, and not to discount the other service learning that happens on campus, but we really want it to be targeted when our students come in so that they know and understand what they're doing actually has an application, not just to our classes, but to their careers as a whole. Mm-hmm. So specifically with the materials class, we're asking them as they're going out to think about what construction materials are you interacting with and how are those being used and how are the construction processes developing in front of you? And think about that and tie it back to the learning that you have in the classroom, whether it's in our lab setting of that class and or the lecture setting of the class.
And then finally, the senior level course, they're actually planning and doing a construction project from start to finish. So they're really understanding that whole process better. And they're understanding it not only through studying it in the course, but then applying that out in the community somewhere in a service setting, right?
That's correct. Yeah. So it's really that, as I mentioned before, what we do in construction management now is manage those projects from inception to completion. So this is a way that we can have those seniors do that on a very small scale, but a meaningful scale, something that actually matters to our community.
You know, a lot of times when I describe service learning to somebody or the conversation about what is service learning comes up, I think a lot of people think about, oh, well, that's in psychology or sociology or social work or education. And when I tell people about the construction management classes, they seem a little surprised, but I don't think they should be. I mean, there's tons of societal issues in our community and around the country, really, that construction management students can help address, right? I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that.
One of the unique aspects about just living in Fresno and having family members that are from here is you see there's this huge need in so many levels and so many factors across our community. And that's something that we can give our students is to interact with that and truly make a difference that going to other institutions, they're just not going to get. And the fact that with the Richter Center providing those opportunities and being a way that we can review them as they come in and find the ones that are best for our students, it really makes a huge difference. And being in the Navy, one of the things that I loved doing were projects that I knew it was going to make an immediate impact to people's lives. And to allow our students to do that now in three different settings, you can just see at the beginning, they may be a little skeptical, they may not know what they're getting into, and by the end, you always have this group of students that are really excited and passionate about what they're doing, and many of them that stay connected with those organizations beyond the class, which is amazing and something that we really are proud of.
Yeah, and I'd love to come back to that whole change in demeanor and attitude that students have and why you think that is. But I want to get Vivian in here. And Vivian, you've taught all three of these classes that Brad was talking about, and you've been using service learning for years now. In fact, you're also a member of the service learning subcommittee, or were a member of the service learning subcommittee for the university. And I'm wondering if you can start by explaining a little bit about when you think of service learning, or when you describe service learning, how do you tell people what that is?
In short, service learning to me is basically learning by serving. Our students provide non-paid services to underserved communities with knowledge they learn from classes. And in as designated classes, we make sure that the services we pick are aligned with the learning outcomes of that specific course.
I've talked to a professor here at Fresno State, Matt Jandian, and Matt talks about this idea. It's one thing to say study poverty and hunger in a textbook, and it's another thing to experience it and deal with it in a service setting. And it's a great opportunity to realize, look, not everything in the textbook is exactly as it's written in that textbook, and not everything that they do in the community is exactly in line with some of the best practices that you're teaching. So it's a great opportunity to compare and contrast life outside of the classroom and what you're teaching and learning in the classroom, I would imagine. And it's got to be a challenge at times, but also a great opportunity for you as a faculty member to help students understand and sort of compare and contrast those two things, right?
Yes, and I think it's an experience that everyone can benefit from, and that's the beauty of service learning. And there are things that we teach in class that they probably never really experience on a job site, and then they find these new ways of doing things on a construction site, and they don't get to learn from class.
Yeah.
So that's what we like about these hands-on experience, and we try to provide as much as possible to our students. And we do have a mandatory internship program to our students, but if you think about these construction management students, when they first come to our program, many of them don't have any construction background or field exposure. So it can be intimidating for them to apply for an internship position. So I see these service learning experiences as a stepping stone for them to build up their confidence as well.
So your students have three service learning experiences before they graduate, and they have this internship experience. So they end up graduating with lots of hours in the field then,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why they can get many offers before they graduate.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a lot to present on their resumes.
So in all of these classes, your students are working in the community and you work with a lot of agencies and community partners. I'm wondering if you can talk a little about who those agencies are that you work with.
We try to introduce a range of projects to our students each semester, and these projects need to be able to represent different challenges. So at the beginning of each semester, we host a construction management service learning fair on campus, and we invite these community partners to meet our students and talk to them about the projects. So just to talk about a few of our long-term community partners, first one is Self-Help Enterprises. They build new homes for low-income families, and they usually build 10-plus homes together on one site, which is a great opportunity for our students to see home construction at various phases.
Yeah.
So that's quite unique. And then we also work with Grid Alternatives a lot. They bring solar energy and job training to low-income families, which would otherwise have no access. We work with them on multiple solar installations and also energy training to low-income families. We also work with Stone Soup, which is right next to our campus, and they are a home for Southeast Asian refugee families. They offer many youth programs, workshops, business consultations, And it's a resourceful hub for the community and helps strengthen the community a lot.
And they own an older building near campus. And so your students and the faculty have been real involved in helping to rehab that facility over the years, right?
Right. Our students help remodeled their daycare facility and upgraded their lighting fixtures, lots of windows over the past couple years.
Great.
We also worked with Dakota Eco Garden, which is also called Eco Village Project. It's in West Fresno. It's a small piece of land they purchased. And it's a pilot study for the homeless. The goal is to provide a safe, healthy, sustainable, and uplifting living environment for the homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
And the famous architect Art Dyson is a long-term homeless advocate. So he's taking the lead on the design effort for this. And if you know Art Dyson, his work is never boring. It's always very creative. And it's an eye-opening experience for our students to work on innovative projects like this.
And he really is. He is a renowned architect worldwide.
Yes.
And he spent a lot of time working with your students on this project, right?
Right.
Yeah. Great opportunity for your students. So, Brad, did you want to add about another community partner?
Yeah, one other community partner that we've worked with for a number of years is NCCLF, which is the Northern California Community Loan Fund.
Okay.
They're based out of the Bay Area, and what they do is a competition in which students develop a solution to a problem that a community service provider has. So, for instance, last year, the Armenian Home wanted to develop a renovation of one of their houses or a number of their houses that they own downtown and transform them into a museum to bring awareness to their practices and different things that they have going on. So we've done this for a number of years. It's actually a collaboration between construction management students, real estate students, and interior design students,
okay,
in which they come up with these design solutions, come up with the construction plan, and then figure out how they're going to pay for it.
Okay. And similarly, I think you have a partnership with interior design here at Fresno State and the local Boys and Girls Club, right?
That's correct. So we've been working with the interior design department. They've come up with some solutions to help renovate their spaces. And now our construction management students are going to help figure out how to actually get that executed.
So they're getting that cross-disciplinary experience that they'll get when they're actually in the field, right?
Absolutely. And so one of the funny things that we joke about every year with those kind of projects, especially the NCCLF project, is that when the students get it at the beginning of the semester, they think, oh, this is easy. It's going to be not a problem. We're going to knock this out of the park. And then the interior design students take a little bit longer than they said they're going to take and a little bit longer. And then the construction management students are pushing them. And then they get it at the end and they have to figure out how much is everything is going to cost. And then the real estate students at the very end get it, and they've got about 2 weeks to figure out how to make all the money work and where they're going to get the money from and how they're going to expense it and do all the financial analysis related to it. And they always joke, and they're like, well, it's never going to be this way in the industry. And we those of us that have been in it say, actually, this is exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we coach them along the way, and they're all doing their different parts at the same time, more or less, but they all have to wait on each other for different aspects.
Yeah.
And so, again, I mentioned that before. This is not something that we can simulate in a classroom. That pressure of coming down to the wire, having to come up with a solution, and just not having all the information that you need, that's just something that's priceless for our students.
A couple of the projects that Vivian mentioned, and Vivian, I don't know if you want to talk about these or Brad, I'll leave it up to the two of you. Grid Alternatives, I think, is a great example of, because so many of your students have been involved with them. And Vivian, you mentioned that they provide solar energy systems to low-income families, which obviously reduces that low-income family's energy expenses. So they have more money to buy groceries or shoes for their kids or whatever else. And they can actually run their AC when it's 108 in Fresno and don't have to struggle through a day when there's no AC in their home. I am wondering if when the students go out to those sites, they're actually involved in the construction and the placement of those, the electrical systems, all of the systems installed on the roof. And for many of these students, this is the first time that they're getting that experience of hands-on construction, right? How often do they come back into the classroom and say, I never realized what it was like to be up there on the roof? We've studied this whole thing in OSHA training about safety around electricity, but boy, you get up to that box and start changing that panel around and you start to get a little serious about it. I mean, I gotta imagine those are some real eye-opening experiences for your students.
Yes, exactly. And our students, as Vivian had mentioned before, many of them come to our program without having any field experience. They may have had a family member that worked in the field, but they themselves have actually never been on a construction project. And so we do get a lot of that. We have a lot of students that come in and say, I've never used a saw before, and they showed me how to do it in a safe manner. And so then I was using it, and they're excited about it. They love the fact that they get to do some things. And the great thing about those grid projects is that most of them are done in a day. So you go out to the site, all the materials are there. You start early in the morning, and by lunchtime, you're done.
Yeah.
And you get to walk away and not just have you been involved and work with your hands and learn about different aspects and learn to do it in a safe manner, but you're able to walk away from a completed project, and that's pretty cool.
Vivian, wanted to add one more thing?
Yes, for Grid Alternatives, they have very good training program. I just wanted to add that because usually I invite them to my class for an orientation session. So that's mandatory for anyone who wants to work on their projects. And then when they go on site, they usually are supervised by a team lead. Usually there are two. So it's about 7 or 8 people working on one project, one installation. And then one or two of them are the team lead. And they will be working along with our students. And they really explain everything to our students. That's what I like about them. It's not just pointing things like, okay, you cut this lumber, you do that, you connect this. But then you don't know why they need to be done specific way. So I even participated in one installation myself a couple years ago. It was a lot of fun. And they explained every step to you. Even they showed you the joins and how to read that, which is something we don't really teach in our class, like solo design. And then you get the opportunity to work on the ground or on the roof. If you're not comfortable working on the roof, it's totally fine. You're not forced to work on there. You can just stay on the ground. There's plenty of work to do. So usually my students come back with very positive experience, and they say they learn a lot from that.
And I know another project that your department has worked with a lot and really helped design was with Art of Life and the Healing Garden out at Woodward Park, a great space for cancer survivors, family members of cancer patients, and construction management students did all the layout and all the initial planning for that, if I'm not mistaken, and actually helped develop some of the features out there. So if you're ever at Woodward Park, great opportunity to go see some of the work that the construction management students have helped with there in the Healing Garden. I'm curious, what are some of the reactions that the two of you get from students? I mean, Brad, you kind of mentioned it. They might not be too sure about it, and they might not even like the idea of doing it. But what happens once they do the service towards the end of the semester? Vivian, what kind of reactions do you get from the students when things are all said and done?
There are two types of students. One type is that they never had any experience, so they get more from this learning.
Uh-huh.
The other type, they've got some construction background. Maybe their parents run a construction company or they work for some companies in the past. It's not a lot of learning for them, but it's more serving for them.
Mm.
But both groups get good experience out of this, and they feel that they can finally see the impact of their work. I think they gain a stronger sense of civic engagement from this experience. And it becomes more meaningful, and they gain a deeper appreciation of what they learn and what they do. It's always nice to feel that what you do can actually make a difference in someone else's life.
Yeah.
So that's what I hear most from their reflection videos at the end, because usually I require them do a presentation in the end, a video to show they actually did certain work and how they feel about it. But most of them mentioned this.
Brad?
Yes, I would say as well, one of the things that's most surprising are that we always have a handful of students that will stay behind for certain projects. Even when the semester is over and the service learning is done, they'll stay behind to finish what they've started. And we have several students that have done that for pretty much every single service provider that we work for. For Grid, we have a student actually that works for Grid full-time in a paid position now that helps us set up projects. We've had people with Stone Soup that have gone back to finish projects that were started that the semester ended, but they wanted to see those windows installed. They wanted to see that daycare center improvement completed. And that to me is always surprising. And what's most surprising is they don't even tell us. we'll hear it from Jesse at Grid or from Daniel at Stone Soup, and they'll come back and say, oh yeah, so-and-so stayed here for another 6 months.
I'll bet you sometimes those are the students who didn't like the idea in the beginning and they realized how great it was.
Yes, so. A couple of them, absolutely. You know, yeah. They really fought against it in the beginning. And I think it was almost because when we included it in the class, they saw it as a requirement. But once they got into it, they realized not only is it a requirement that helps them, but it really does help the other people, as Vivian has said.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing about the service learning that I'm always struck when I talk to faculty members and students. It really is that there's that opportunity to grow and develop from the service, including that learning piece, that understanding of the discipline a little bit better and the application of it. You know, we're just about out of time. I'm wondering if you have any closing thoughts on why service learning is such a valuable part for your department. I think for your experience as faculty members, for the culture at Fresno State, anything you want to share?
I would say two things. One is that the reason that we decided to go with service learning in construction management was for a selfish reason, honestly. We knew that if our students had experience in the field, they were going to get jobs. That's what the employers always told us. So we said we can do that two ways. We can do service learning and internship. And if we do that, as you had mentioned, then that gives our students a big leg up when they go out to get jobs. But the second thing is the fact that Fresno State has such a huge culture of service learning, and we have this ability to impact so many lives locally, being an urban school where we have endless possibilities of helping people, it just was a good fit all around. And we knew that our students, because many of them come from those families that may have needed some assistance coming along the way, they see that and they're like, okay, I want to give back too. And that's something that we want them to leave Fresno State with, is not just you're going to get this great job and this great career in this field that we love, but always find a way that you can give back, because it really does have an impact. And many of them see that personally in their lives.
Yeah. Vivian, I know you've invested an awful lot of time in service learning over your 9 years here. What's it meant to you as a faculty member and as an employee of the university?
Well, this is my 10th year teaching this course. I teach the CM7 as the materials and methods class. Now, I don't even remember what it was like when it was not a service learning course, because I'm so used to it. Every semester, I meet with these community partners and try to identify new projects for our students. It's always very exciting because every semester I get different projects and I get to meet new community partners. And we started with a very small group of community partners 7 or 8 years ago when we had our first service learning fair. And now this semester we have 7 or 8 community partners we could work with. So I can see that over the years, this is really growing. We are planting deeper connections with the local communities. And I'm very happy that we get to see that growth and we're making an impact in our region.
You know, I'll kind of close a little bit about echoing what you say. You know, I've had a chance to work with dozens, maybe hundreds of community benefit agencies in our community and actually outside of our community as well. And I know that so many of them have a need for these construction-related services and to one degree or another. And your department's certainly benefiting our community in a lot of ways, and through service learning, through your internships, and boy, 100% placement rates, that's just fantastic. It's a great testament to how you've prepared, through service learning and internships, your students for entry into their careers. And I sure appreciate your work, and I know that those agencies do as well. So many thanks to Brad and to Vivian for being here today, and just a fantastic program. Our construction department is one that we should be very proud of here, and we are at Fresno State. And finally, to all of our listeners, thanks for joining us this morning. Please tune in again next Sunday morning and every Sunday at 11 for another Fresno State Service and Action program on KFSR. And don't forget to like us on Facebook at FS Service and Action. Tell us what you think about today's show, and always great information that's posted there. We are Fresno State Service in Action, and we're on the air at 90.7 FM. And we're online, streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org. Thanks, and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.